We continue with our topography of Barzakh, and as we promised, we will discuss the territory of the sleepwalkers tonight, inshallah. We may have some of them around, anyhow, just sleepwalking here and there. And they are the least harmful creatures, the souls, actually. People are afraid of the souls, but they are the least harmful creatures, anyhow. One day, one of us would become a soul, and then we will become very amazed why people are afraid of us, because we do not harm anyone. Okay. Now, I call them sleepwalkers. Why? Because they walk like people who walk in sleep. Their life is something between sleep and wakefulness. The strength of the life. Of course, the sleep, that type of sleep walking there is much stronger than the life that we have here. However, they don't have that strength of life that you find with in the territory of the righteous ones. And with the righteous ones, we have a very, very active life, full of stamina, full of blessings. And here, it is a modest, a moderate type of life that they have. That's why it's in some of our traditions also it's called the time of slumber. It's a sort of slumber that they are in. Now, who are these? Who will be a sleepwalker in Barzakh? Several groups. Those who were not very evil, not very good. Those who mixed good and evil together. There's a difference between the two. وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا خَلَتُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخِرًا سَيِّئًا. They have mixed good and evil together. For example, they pray, they disregard their parents. It's good act and bad act. And they do not wash away. According to Shia Kalam, good and evil acts do not wash each other away. Although good acts bring you to the realm of goodness, but usually the evil, if you do not repent and compensate for it, would remain. Now, the other group, which are called Mustad'afun, those people who are weak in their understanding, or weak because they have not received guidance, could not distinguish between right and wrong. These are another group which will be in this realm of sleepwalkers. Of course, some of them have a good life, some of them have a terrible life, but still all are in this range of Barzakh. Children, they are there as well. We will discuss about children, of course, in more details. We shouldn't think that because children are there, because it's the medium range for children, it's a bad place. No. It's a place which gives them growth to reach a level which they can enter the place of wisdom. Paradise, we call it a place of wisdom. You have to have a level of wisdom before you can enter that place. Because children don't have that level of wisdom. They cannot enter. They have no sins, but they are kept in this area until they acquire that level by the teachings of the angels. Mentally handicapped people as well. Majaneen. They are here until they find the capacity to distinguish, and then they find their inclinations, of course. So any group like this, any group which the fate of which cannot be decided immediately, on the moment of death, unlike those very good ones and very evil ones, these are going to stay in this middle range. Now, this middle range is very close to this earth, in the sense that their life is more, they are more concerned about the exterior rather than interior, because they haven't found that interior wisdom as yet. And therefore, they have to stay here to find that wisdom, if they ever can find the wisdom, of course. Now, in many traditions, we have that for these people, either a window to the paradise of Barzakh, or a sort of very narrow opening to the paradise of Barzakh is opened, or a narrow opening to the hell of Barzakh is opened, depending on their situation. So they are not equal. Some of them are completely shut off from the paradise and somehow opened towards the hell. Some of them are completely closed from paradise, open towards from hell, open towards paradise. So we have mixed people here. However, what they all share is that their situation is not yet decided. They have to go through all those aqabat of Sirat and stay there. Now, there is a long, long journey which the soul would actually realize itself. Now, there is no realization here. And that's why their life is, as I said, it's more concerned with exterior rather than interior, because they haven't found that interior wisdom yet. Now, look at this hadith. ذريس الكناسي قال سألت أبا جعفر عليه السلام. Now, this ذريس is actually concerned with the Sunnis. He sees the Sunnis who reject the wilaya of A'imma alayhi salam, but they are good people. They pray, they believe in Prophet Muhammad, they do all good these things. So, and also they do sins, just like every Muslim. He asks about them, then Imam gives a general criterion and includes others as well. So he says that, I asked Imam Baqir, قُلْتُ أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهِ فَمَا حَالُ الْمُوَحِّدِينَ The monotheists, muwahideen. What will be the situation of the monotheists? المقرين بنبوة محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. Those who confess that Muhammad is a prophet, peace be on him. From Muslimin, المذنبين. They are Muslims, and their sin here apparently is that they do not believe in you. المذنبين الذين يموتون وليس Lahum Imam, those who die and there is no Imam for them. They don't know. وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَ وَلَايَتَكُمْ And they do not know about your wilaya. So what is their situation there? Now, this is a very general criterion and it includes many people, as Imam explains later. He says, أَمَّا هَوْلَا These people, فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي حُفْرَتِهِمْ لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ وَلَمْ يَظْهَرْ مِنْهُ عَدَاوَةٌ فَإِنَّهُ يُخَدُّ لَهُ خَدٌّ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي خَلَقَهَا اللَّهُ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ This is again the direction, east and west, that we talked about before. These people, they will be in their graves. They would not come out. Come out means going to paradise or going to hell. It's the middle range. The area of their grave is actually something in between. They cannot come out of that. It's just like a boundary that they are bound to it. Any one of them who has good acts, amalun saleh, and they haven't shown animosity. They are not enemies of Ahlul Bayt, of course. They are not enemies of the Prophet. They have good acts. An opening will be opened from their grave to the paradise which Allah has created in Maghrib. That means the paradise in Barzakh, not the paradise of Akhirah, of course. Allati khalaqa Allah fil Maghrib means the paradise which is in Barzakh. This will be opened. Now, why are they sent to paradise? They are good people. They have amalun saleh. They don't have any animosity. Okay? And why? Just because they do not know the Imam, they do not have their wilayah, they don't go to paradise. Why? Why do you think is the case? Any idea? Now, you are Shias, of course, you may say all Sunnis should go to hell. Why should they go to paradise? But we're not talking about general ideas, not about sectarian issues. Certainly, you see, these things have been there since the creation of Adam alayhi salam. People, no matter to which religion they belong, they all go through all these things. So it's not a sectarian issue. And therefore, it is in place to ask if these people were good. The only problem is that they didn't know the Imam. So why shouldn't they go to paradise in Barzakh? Why should they should wait until they are decided about? Yes.
Could it be that paradise is a reflection of reality? It is because they didn't know the
Yeah. But do we realize the reality? Yeah, that's true. This wilaya gives wisdom. And if you don't have that enough wisdom, you have to wait. Now, of course, we say that we have wilaya, but the wilaya should bring something in us, certainly. Either abundant love, which of course would change us, or to get wisdom from them. Going through different traditions tells us that wilaya is actually to get wisdom from A'imma alayhi musallam. To get wisdom from. This is wilaya. The real wilaya. So if you do not get that wisdom from them, you will stay with Sunnis there. You don't go up. Inshallah, all of us will be included in Shafa'ah later on, but Shafa'ah is something which gives you the additional wisdom to get into paradise. Because paradise is a place where you know God. And you cannot know God unless through wisdom. So if you don't have that enough wisdom, you cannot go there. So here, they will stay there. A window is opened to their grave. Now, why a window is open to their grave? Of course, when we say in their grave, not that they are just lying there and there is a window, they look at paradise. No, they are living there. It's a life. Although they are sleepwalkers, but it's much stronger than our life. They eat, they drink, and they socialize, and all these things. However, they have some prospects of glimpses of paradise, which is just like an ideal, an ambition for them, something which gives them imagination and prepares them for that wisdom. Now, of course, Swedenborg has a nice expression here I will mention later on. He doesn't know anything about these rawayat, of course, but he speaks in his own language. فَيَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهَا الرَّوْحُ فِي حُفْرَتِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ So comforts will come. Ruh. Of course, it's very difficult to explain. Ruh is a comfort which brings freshness, brings life. Ruh and ruh are from the same root. So, until the day of judgment, until he meets Allah, فَيَلْقَ اللَّهِ فَيُحَاسِبُهُ بِحَسَنَاتِهِ وَسَيَّعَاتِهِ, then there will be an account. You see, for those who are in paradise of Barzakh, there is no account, no hesab. أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ يُرْزَقُونَ فِيهَا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. There is no hesab for them, because they are already decided, there is no account anymore. For these people, there is an account. And يُحَاسِبُهُ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَإِمَّا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِمَّا إِلَى النَّارِ, then the final decision is made on the day of judgment about them. فَهَؤُلَاء مَوْقُوفُونَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, they are kept until the decree of Allah is issued. No one knows what will happen to them. However, their life is, some of them have a good life because there is an opening to paradise for them. Some of them have a bad life because there is an opening to hell for them. Of course, they are not in hell. There is an opening. It's just like a person who is always seeing distress and misfortune in this world. And a person who always sees luck and good fortune in this world. Their life is, the difference is like that in Barzakh. And then Imam gives the general criterion. وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُ اللَّهِ بِالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, and in this way Allah will treat the mustaz'afin. Mustaz'af, as I said, is someone who is weak in understanding, either because no guidance or because the rational analysis cannot reach that level to decide. So mustaz'afin, والبول, mentally handicapped, children, أولاد المسلمين الذين لم يبلغوا الحلم, and children of Muslimin who have not reached puberty or maturity. Now there is a difference between children and this أولاد المسلمين. Children is general for Muslims and non-Muslims. Those who haven't reached puberty because they have the power of distinguishing things. They can differentiate, distinguish between right and wrong. In fiqhi terminology, they say ahlu tamiz, the people who can distinguish between right and wrong. So these are one level above children. For Muslimun, even if they have reached this status and they have chosen evil, still they will be here, because they haven't reached the mature age. So, this is in Kulayni. Of course, you know the name of the book is Kulayni. He didn't give the name Kafi to his book. Later on, they chose the name Kafi. Otherwise, initially the book was called Kulayni rather than Kafi. That's why I said that it's in Kulayni. And also the window to hell, فأم, the same hadith continues, فَأَمَّا النُّصَّاب مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, from Ahlul Qibla, the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, still are Muslimun. They say la ilaha illallah, they pray, they fast, but that is not really acceptable if they have animosity towards Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, peace be on him. فَإِنَّهُمْ يُخَدُّ لَهُمْ خَدٌّ إِلَى النَّارِ, they don't go to hell in paradise, in Barzakh. They don't go to hell in Barzakh. Again, an opening. Now you can see who will get an opening to hell. Nusab. Those, for example, who were against Imam Zainul Abidin, who were against Amirul Mu'minin, these type of people who claimed that they are Muslims, but virtually they didn't have any taste of Islam. يُخَدُّ لَهُمْ خَدٌّ إِلَى النَّارِ, an opening to hell, الَّتِي خَلَقَهَا اللَّهُ فِي الْمَشْرِقِ فَيَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْهَا اللَّهَبُ وَالشَّرَرُ وَالدُّخَانُ وَفَوْرَةُ الْحَمِيمِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Blaze and smoke and hot water just comes into their life. As I said, just someone who always sees misfortunes, a very terrible sort of life, not in hell, of course, but in that area of Barzakh. And then between these two, again, we have people who have set different lives. And you can say that even in this area, there are cities, neighborhoods, different clusters of souls who are together, live together. So this is the way, of course, we can define this area. Now, the meaning of فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي خُفْرَتِهِمْ لَا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهَا, I discussed this. That what does it mean? They are in their grave, they cannot come out of it. It's just they are actually tangled in that sort of life because they cannot come out of this range of exterior. They still are entangled with that type of life. Now, features of this territory. Time passes as fast as sleep. So, although Barzakh may last several thousands of years, but for them, life is very fast. Secondly, they are more occupied with sensual life, as I said. The type of food they eat, the type of drink they drink, the type of clothes they wear, just like us. They are more concerned with that. They still don't have the wisdom that these things are not meant for itself. They are meant for knowledge of Allah. They are still not, they still don't know it. And when they get that window of paradise, they realize that how people of paradise treat these things. And they have limited wisdom and limited spiritual understanding. Otherwise, they would have gone to paradise. If they go to paradise, they cannot understand anything there. And they would take all those pleasures, again, as sensual pleasures. Something which is concerned with the exterior rather than the interior. And it's not possible for them to experience a life of higher ranks. And they have to pass through all those difficult hills and convoluted routes of hereafter so that they can, if it's possible for them, to get to those higher ranks of life. Now, the window of paradise, according to Swedenborg's observations. Now, you may say, who is this Swedenborg? A kafir. Why should we always talk about him and say what he says? Well, of course. As I said, these issues are not restricted to Muslims. It's not a monopoly of us. It's a human sort of thing. All humans will go through all these things. And humans have different experiences. Now, this Swedenborg, why we believe him, many people have claimed such things, that they have passed through this wall of, and they have gone through Barzakh, they have seen things. Why we believe him? Because many of the things that he says make sense according to our understanding of Barzakh. According to our traditions and the verses of the Quran, although he was absolutely unaware of them, and he actually regarded Muslims as hostile because he didn't have encounter with Muslims at all. Although he says that in that world I see that Muslims also are saved, but I don't know what type of Muslims he has seen there, because I mean, when we go there again, people will see us as Muslims. Maybe our women in hijab and us with beards, we don't know. And they say, these are the Muslims. But what type of Muslims they see? Evil ones? Good ones? Middle range ones? And he has seen some, he says, I have seen some Muslims who were behind Christians. But very good Christians. Well, that's possible, of course. But as I said, what makes us to somehow care about his observations is that it makes sense according to our traditions and our literature. And he doesn't look to be a dishonest man. He does not talk of traditions, he does not talk of Bible. Of course, according to his what he has seen, he then interprets the Bible. However, he says, whatever I say is what I have seen and I have heard. I have been in contact with thousands of souls. And even I have been a company of some of these souls for as long as a year. And they explained for me their experiences. And many of what they explained I could not understand. And even when these souls came together and talked to each other, they could not understand each other's experiences as well. But as I said, the observations are somehow a sort of higher rank imagination of what we have in our traditions and in our literature. So, let's see. It's absolutely up to you whether you want to accept or not. Whenever I talk of Swedenborg, I mention him so that you can say that I don't believe in him. He's a Christian, he's a kafir. I don't believe in him. It's up to you. Okay? Now, his observations. He says that these people who are in the middle range is something that, like, of course, he doesn't talk about the opening to paradise, or he says that these people have dreamlike trances in which they see the paradise. Some of those who we said that a window to paradise is open to them. Now, trances, this means that even in Barzakh you find people fond of Irfan, getting something which is beyond their life. In paradise, you don't find it, because in paradise, that is the ma'rifah. That is the ma'rifah. What is there is ma'rifah. In this middle range, still paradise is something that you have to know. So they are fond of Irfan. So they get mystical trances there, in which they have dreamlike understanding of that paradise which is there. They become somehow familiar with that paradise through these dreams. And in this way they get prepared to enter. And it gives them excitement after it is finished, so that they think that the life that they have is worthless. That is where they have to go. Now, of course, do the souls also have these types of things? Yes, of course, why not? The angels sometimes have it as well. And they understand the type of pleasure, which is very different from the type of pleasure that they have in their sensual understanding of pleasure in Barzakh. Even, this is what, of course, he says, I have heard from these souls, even a fraction of those pleasures cannot be described by the concept they already know. They're already in Barzakh, they are already souls, they have already seen angels, many things, but they have told him, well, You want to believe or not? They have told him that what we see in our dreams of that paradise, الَّذِي خَلَقَهَا اللَّهُ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ, according to our traditions, even a fraction of it we cannot describe. It's not possible for us to describe it. So, this brings them, of course, the concepts they have in Barzakh cannot describe what they see in that paradise. However, this gives them imagination, new concepts by which they can get prepared to enter paradise. These trances gradually changes their state of life, and they go higher and higher in rank, and according to him, they enter. Now, I don't know, according to our traditions, maybe this shift is not mentioned, that someone in the middle range, they go up to the paradise of Barzakh. It may be possible, but according to us, this should happen on the Day of Judgment. They get prepared for it. They get the mental means or conceptual means for it to enter the paradise. It should be, you see, we think that it's God. He puts anyone he likes in paradise, anyone he likes in hell. It doesn't work like that. You cannot make a horse a human. You cannot make a cockroach a donkey. It's not possible. You have to be what you are. And in this way, they are preparing them to enter. However, these are the people who can be prepared, who have the initial capacity. Some, they never want to listen. They never understand. Nothing would come to their mind. And if anything comes to their mind, they turn it into evil. That's very important. Don't think that the grace of God don't go to those evil people. It goes there. But as soon as they absorb it, they turn it into evil. They take the pure water and turn it into mud because of the system that they have. So it's not God who, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلَمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا. Allah never wrongs anyone. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلَمُونَ. They are the ones who wrong themselves. They are the ones who turn this grace into evil. They learn the meaning of purity, isma. And this is, of course, for Swedenborg, this is very, very important. He says that until you get this purity, unless you get this purity, you cannot enter paradise. So they learn the meaning of isma. And in this way, they get prepared to enter paradise. Now, enough of this territory. Let's go to the territory of the evil ones now. This is, if we want to talk about in our physical imagination, at the top, the territory of the righteous, the territory of the sleepwalkers in the middle, and at the bottom, the territory of the evil ones. These are the ones who would eventually go to hell in the hereafter. There is no way for them to somehow divert to the other the prosperous road. Now, what do we mean by evil? Who is evil? Because evil, of course, many of us do evil acts, but are we evil? Many of us do good acts, but can we say that we are not evil? So let's get a definition of evil. Their love is only for themselves. This is one. Anyone who has no love towards anything else, unless themselves, this is evil. Because they turn everything into evil. Because they want everything for themselves. And that's why they turn everything into evil. Even they want God to act according to their wishes and whims. They are devoid of any love for God or for good. No good is good for them unless it is monopolized by them. So these are the evil ones. For these people, it is impossible for the angels to make them understand anything of good. Because even when they listen to the angels, they are thinking, how can I exploit this for my own purpose? So they never listen. They are always cunningly, they always cunningly want to change things for their evil purposes, and either evil mind they want to turn into everything into evil. Now their psychology, jealous of any good in others. Now when we go to the next world, the good of others is apparent. You see them in their faces. So if you are jealous, you want to do something about it. And you cannot help it, of course, because this has become your nature. You either want to destroy them or exploit them or take the good for yourself, not knowing that this is the root of all your misery. So they want to destroy the good. And since God does not permit that, and this is where, of course, God comes in, He does not allow them to destroy the good. And since He prevents it, they are always full of rage and hatred, not towards others, but also towards God. And this is something which is mentioned in the Quran. Unless you are an enemy of God, you are not driven to hell. وَيَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ The day when the enemies of God are driven to hell. Now, you may say, is it possible on that day when everyone sees and has the experience of God, is it possible that someone would hate God? Yes, of course. The hatred would become intensified, actually, because you see, you want to do things God would not allow you. He's just like a police, strong policeman, holding you from those doing these evils. So your hatred and your rage, and psychologically, you're always full of rage and hatred. And you can imagine when these people come together in hell, what sort of hell they create for each other, isn't it? I mean, because they want to, again, transgress, exploit, use others for their own purposes and benefits. And this is the type of psychology that we will find in hell. إِنَّ ذَلَكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ It is a reality, the animosity of Ahlun Nar, of people in hell. It's because of their natures. They have to be enemies of each other. And if we keep them there, it's because we don't want them to harm the good ones. Now they say that hell is something which is a product of Rahmatullah. How can we explain this? It's a product of mercy of God. How can you explain this? Yeah, it's mercy for the good ones, of course. Not for the evil ones. It's mercy for the good ones. It's just like a police force, which is rahmah, of course. It keeps them away from the good ones. So this creates in them a sense of enmity towards God. And since all power is from God, they are the weakest in that world. Although they are full of rage, they are the weakest. Because Allah keeps them weak, doesn't allow them to do anything. And the closer you become to God, more powerful you become. More good you have in you, more power Allah will give you. And that's why in paradise, whatever you wish, you can have. This is power, of course. They talk of justice on their tongues, but their inner self thrives on injustice. Now, it's very interesting because when even they go to hell, they say, well, this is not justice. We have to be just to each other. They speak nicely, as some people in this world, of course, they do, especially politicians. But there is no justice in them, certainly. As soon as the light of God penetrates their soul, as I mentioned, they pollute it by evil thoughts. So no light would avail them. It's just turned into evil as soon as it gets to them. And here they are of different tribes. The more clever ones try to somehow recruit others for their own means and purposes so that they get whatever others have. Of course, no one has anything there. But they want to somehow overcome others, make them their own slaves. Just habit. It's just their habit. And so they create clans and tribes there. And this is what, of course, Swedenborg elaborates on very much. Now, their territory is divided into different areas according to the type of their evil. It's very rational, but what I say here is from Swedenborg, beware. They look like different tribes because they, according to the type of evil that they are used to, they look like each other, according to the type of evil. They are filled with hatred of other tribes and each other. So members of every tribe, they just come together because they think that it can serve them a purpose. Otherwise, they hate each other. And then they hate other tribes because they want to exploit them as well. Now, this is all explanation. Again, I have taken this from Sweden, but because this is all explanation of إِنَّ ذَلِكَ الْحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا. Whenever a tribe, a group comes in, they curse the other tribe and other groups. They start to curse each other. The punishment here has short-term preventive effect, since transgression and oppressing the weak has become their instinct. So when they become hyper-transgressive, the angels come in, they punish them, they stop them, and then they have no fear of punishment, actually. It's only the punished, they have to be kept in chains or in fire until they stop. Otherwise, as soon as they are released, they start doing the same thing over and over and again. Now, you may say, how these people may come out of hell? Because eventually, this is the hell in Barzakh. Of course, they are going to go to hell in Akhir as well. We say that eventually, most of the people will come out of hell. You may say, how are these people going to come out of hell? By this nature. How? That's the wisdom of Allah, we don't know. That's something that Allah has actually ordained, that there will be a process for them to go through. It's very difficult. I really feel pity for the angels who deal with these people. Really, I mean, it's very difficult to deal with these people. So how they want to guide them, how they want to teach them. Now, this whole area is called Barahut. Now, what is Barahut? Barahut has no meaning in language. It's name of a water or name of a place, which they say it has the most stinky water and the most barren land, and so they have taken this name to symbolize the territory of the evil ones. They call it Barahut. Now this Barahut of course is divided into different sections, areas, and I think we leave the discussion of Barahut for next week, inshallah. Questions? Yes, please. Now, not very evil, not very good, are those people who may not have actually acted, but naturally are not very evil, not very good. But mixing good and evil are those who have acted upon their nature, yeah, they have good acts and evil acts. Yes. Yes, there will be azab for them as well. I mean, some of them are confined to small cells, for example. Some of them may have always terrible dreams of hell, or if that window opening to hell is open to them, they will have always misfortune, and also these blaze and even the terror of that place would terrify them. But still, you see, it's just like life in this world. You see, we all live. We have drink, food, and all these things. Some of us less, some of us more. And some of us have good fortune, some of us have misfortune, some of us are depressed, some of us are happy. Oh, it's something like that. Of course, not similar at all, but if we want to give an example. Yes. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيَّاتِ. That means they compensate for them, not that they wash them away. It's not washed away. According to Shaykh Mufid, he says, and most of Shia theologians, they say that they do not actually null each other. They are there. However, your good acts would compensate for your evil acts in a sense that overwhelm them. They are there, but they overwhelm them.
That would not have any effect in burden.
Depends on what sort of sayyat it is, of course. I mean, al-muznibun min al-muslimin, al-muznibun min al-muslimin, the sinners of Muslims, most of them would go to this middle range. Very bad sinners would go to hell. Yeah, of course. Yes. Yes, yes, of course, they will be affected. It's just like bonuses you send for them, or food or drink you send for them. It's like that. And the reason is probably even your prayer for someone is still a continuation of their acts in this world. Because when you pray for someone, it means that you have seen some good from them. And this still benefits them. That's probably the main reason. It's very complicated, of course, we don't know. But all traditions say that it has an effect on them, their lives. Yes. How is it possible that someone loves Ahlul Bayt, follows them, and then doesn't have wilaya? That's the meaning of wilaya. What does it? What?
There's a very famous Pakistani preacher. He said he believes the wilaya of Imam Ali. He believes in the wilaya of Imam Zamana. He doesn't believe in the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt.
Oh.
You know, the other Shia said that he's probably a monarchic or something, but if it's true that he does, then what is his position?
I think the angels get confused. I don't know. Probably the angels will get confused about this person. Yeah. Yes.
If the life in Barzakh is very close to the life on this earth, then is it reasonable to assume that there will be working, cooking, and cleaning there?
Yes, possible. Yeah, yeah. Walking, cooking. I don't know. I don't know where the food comes from, but certainly moving from place to place. We have in many traditions that they move. They travel, and they have food and drink, orange juice especially. And but how these are made for them, I don't know. Cooking is something that never I have seen any trace of knowledge about that. No, I don't know. Yeah. Manna and Salwa, better things. This Manna and Salwa is for this world. Better than this. Better than these things, certainly, yes. Yeah. Any other question? Okay, inshallah, see you next week.